Hey, come on. This is a good morning. I find my RO here. So welcome everybody that's online as well this morning. We want to give you a huge welcome on behalf of the family here at Father's House, based in Christchurch, Dorset. And so it's just a joy to have everybody here this morning. And we want to just express a little bit more about how much the Father loves his church, how much he cares for his church, and that there is a program that he has that we are all part of, and that we get to be the ministers in the. I'm trying to find myself in the middle here. Yeah, that's better. So it's like he has a whole thing that he has geared ever since before the world began to see the operation of his kingdom in church. Established, increased, and growth exponentially. And then it says in Revelation 11, it says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and Christ. Come on. So that's where he's going. And we are today part of the host that's rolling towards his return. And then there's a host of people already gone before us in the heavenlies that are cheering us on as the bride today. For their a part of them's probably thinking, man, I wish I was still on earth, for what is about to be unleashed is going to be awesome. And I'm sure they're a little bit sorry that they've missed out, but yet they shouldn't be sorry because they're already in glory. But I just see that there's a whole thing that's shifting. There's a shift happening across the world, not just in the UK. But internationally, God is shifting and redirecting his focus for this next move, which is going to be taking his church, his bride, you and me, into a glorious time where we become what he has desired us to be. So we want to look at it today from a different perspective, but we want to drop back over because a couple of weeks we spoke on that the church is to be dot, dot, dot. Unity. Now, we're not there yet because we have division. We have a lot of strife that goes on, and unity is not a thing that we've been really good at honing in on. So we're going to take a little bit of a look at that this morning. But when we spoke the last time, we actually dealt with such things as that we are a church built upon the rock Christ Jesus out of Matthew, and that we actually were actually it's this has all been ordained that He said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that it's built upon a rock, and the rock is Christ Jesus, and that the gates of hell are not going to win. So we're not a militant like the old Knights Templar used to be, but we are militant in the fact that we are an army called to rally, called to fight, and that there is one king, and his name is Jesus Christ, and it's his kingdom. It's his the king's domain. So he is the king of all. He is the head of the church, and our eyes are focused on him. So we're loving what he's doing. The church, as we were learning the last time, has the ability to bind things. So what we bind here on earth is also bound in heaven. And what we loose, because there's a loosing ministry as well, and what we loose here on earth is loosed. And what we loose in heaven is loosed. So the Bible speaks about us having keys, the keys of the kingdom, like in Isaiah 22, have been given. And then the other keys was the ones that Jesus went down into Hades after his resurrection. He went down there and he said, "Give me back my keys." And so he holds keys that we've got access to, because a key unlocks. A key allows you to go through a door which you could never go through before. And in this season, the Lord is giving us keys to open the doors of the kingdom and to press in further than we have ever been before. And so there's a glory that is coming upon the church because it's God's desire, his design, and there's nothing we can do to stop it because he has it planned. It's in his purposes, and we get to be the people that walk out, the children of God, the people that are actually in tune and linked in with the Father. Those that said, where the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added on to you. So our focus is firstly from us to the Father, like our eyes are focused on you, Jesus, even today, that you are the glorious one, you are the King, you are the Lord of Lords, and that we follow where you go. because we learned the example, because you said you only did what you seen the Father, your Father, doing. And so the instruction came from your Father to you, and you went and did exploits. And so that is our plan. We actually will focus so much that seeking first the kingdom, that we get to hear from heaven direct, that source that we tap into, because we have got an internal Holy Spirit dwelling inside us that gives us connection right into the very throne room of God. There is no barriers for us. You know, and if we're living right and living a pure life, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? That's us. The only requirement is that we stay pure, that we stay focused on the holiness of life, that we stay focused on a righteous life before the Lord. You know, so we are a binding and a loosing body. We are not in this to be passive. We're in this for the battle. We're in this because we know that Jesus has an accomplishment that he wants to achieve. And so we're in saying, yes, God, whatever it takes. And if you need me for X, Y, Z, then here I am. I'm surrendered. I'm available. I want to go and do what you want me to do. Just speak, O Lord. And it's like, Samuel, speak, O Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, so this is a season where we get to hear more clearly than we have in the past what it is that heaven is shouting or declaring over us. And then we get to walk out and take what it is and go do what Jesus has asked us to do. Amen. So the church, you know, is actually is to be a united church. It's not supposed to be divided. It is the whole thing in John 17 is the fact that we are a unified body under the head, under Jesus Christ. So when the Bible speaks about the church, it's speaking about the worldwide universal church. It's not just speaking about Father's house here in Christchurch or another church in London. He's speaking about the universal church worldwide. And I mean the universal church in the right sense of the meaning, not the universalism that we have heard in the past, which is not of the Lord's Spirit. You know, so we're part of a universal worldwide body of believers that are attached to our head, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And so the word church is in, you know, it speaks of this one church in various localities. And that's who we are. We're one church, but we're in different locations because we all can't get on one boat and go to like the Isle of Man and all meet there for a wonderful service before the Lord, because I don't think the Isle of Man would probably cope with the amount of people that would turn up. But we are spread all over the world because we have a job to do, and that is prepare the way. Like John the Baptist had his job, he was to prepare the way for the King coming, for Jesus coming to the earth. And we are the same today. We're in the process as church, as the body, as believers. We are to call good works and go out and do good works, but also to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and do the works of Jesus in preparation for him coming back for us. Amen? So the word church has in some important passages. And the first one we see is, I will build my church, not churches. And that's referring back to that Matthew 16 passage again. And then there's the Lord added to the church in Acts 2, verse 47. And we're entering into a season now again where the Lord is going to come and he is going to add to his church. It's never been not his purpose. It's never not been his plan. So he's coming. And this is like this is a shift that's happening right now. We're entering into this new season where we will get to see and be part of the glory of the Lord as it rises upon the earth, when people who don't even have time for him will actually stop or be stopped in their tracks by the Spirit of the living God that will arrest them, that will actually turn their focus and will roll them into the kingdom through salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're in a great season. And then the next one is, great fear fell on the church. And you can see that in Acts 5 and verse 11. And there was persecution against the church, Acts 8 and 3. And Saul made havoc of the church, Acts 8, verses 1 to 3. Saul, when he wreaked havoc, he was killing. He was on a mission thinking he was on the right track. And then he got blinded and had that encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus that totally flipped his life around and made him a powerhouse in the kingdom, the very kingdom that he had desired to destroy, he now became one of the chief leaders and cornerstones of the apostolic movement that was launched through Paul in his ministry. The whole church throughout the whole of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, you know, there's so many references to the church in the wilderness, one church, and that was referenced back in Acts 7, verse 38. You've got elders of the church mentioned in Acts 20 and verse 17. And then you've got a glorious church, and it's like mentioned in Ephesians 5. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I think this is a key passage of scripture that we need to just let it soak into our spirit, that this is who we are. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we'll start there at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, that he might present himself, present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. That's the church. Spotless and blameless. So our thing today is that our responsibility is we got to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. So if there's things in your life that are not right, well, then you're missing out, because you're actually hitting your own ceiling that you've set, where your knife's not right before the Lord. And so you'll keep bouncing against that barrier that you have placed in place. As you know, so if you've got anything in your life that is not right, then this is the time to renew and refresh and recommit your life before the Lord God Almighty. He is your head. He is the one that you surrendered to. So keep things right. Do not get sucked into your old ways, back into the old habits, and allow the world to creep back in again. Allow the pressures of the world to crush you and dampen you down. You guys, we need to shake these things off. There is a season that we're entering into where the pure will see the glory of the Lord as he released. And if you're not walking in that right relationship with the Father, then get down on your knees today, repent of what it is that you've been doing, and make it right with the Father. You want to be the one that has oil in your lamp when the sound is heard, and the virgins without the oil were lacking, but those that had prepared, who took the time to seek his kingdom first, who took the time to actually have relationship with the Father, they're the ones that are going to be part of the whole glorious bride of Christ when the Lord returns. So our part is we want to be the ones that keep things clean, keep things clear in our lives. It's important, folks. He paid an expensive price to make it possible for us to live free from sin, to be becoming the glorious bride that Christ has asked of us. So there's one accord and one heart and one mind the Bible speaks about. And the only church was of one accord, one heart, one mind in Acts 1, verse 14. It says that they came together and they were all in the room, you know, with one heart, one mind. They were focused because they had knew that God had told them to wait in the upper room, and then he would come and endue them with power from on high, that the fire of God would descend, the building would shake, and that the Pentecost celebration would have begun that day in the upper room, where God came, shook everything, and fire came upon people. And the enthusiasm, because not only they knew what was about to come, didn't know how it was going to come, but they knew that Jesus had forewarned them, get ready, get ready, get ready, because you're about to step into a new season, and we are about to step into a new season. There is a shaking coming on the church. There is a Pentecost fire coming on the believers worldwide as we step into a new season before God, and it's going to be filled with the fire. And you, when you get baptized with water, that's one thing. But when you come up out of the waters of baptism and the fire of God hits your spirit, man, that takes you to another level. And we should be so hungry in our spirits today to be the ones that say, God, whatever it is, whatever it takes, I'm with you, Father, because I'm part of your army. And I'm saying, I'm drawing my sword today and I'm saying, yes, I'll say yes to you. I'll say yes to anything, Lord, because it's all about you. It's not about me. You know, and many of us have got sidetracked because things haven't worked out quite how we had thought they were going to work out. And so you've allowed this cloud to come upon you of it didn't work out. You know, all this stuff, all this bluster, all this stuff you keep saying about, it doesn't happen. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but that's not right. You're not in the right place. Your heart, you have allowed it to become closed. And you need to get back to the Father and say, Father, forgive me for my hardness of my heart and release upon me again today your joy, your righteousness, and your peace, Lord, so that I operate in the three aspects of the revival that's coming, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's your key, in the Holy Ghost. It's that relationship. There has to be relationship for us to be in the body of Christ. I mean, Corinthians speaks about the body, you know, the arm can't be, you know, can't be part away from the shoulder, the head can't be off the body, you know, the toe can't say, I'll do it on my own. And so there's those scriptures that clearly direct us that God designed us to be a body worldwide that flows in connection with Jesus, in connection with the Father, in connection with the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. So there's, we're all meant to be one heart, one mind, and one accord. And then in Psalm 133, turn to Psalm 133. This is exciting stuff today. I love this. And it should excite us because we're in it. If you've said yes, you're in it. You know, so let's get it right. So we actually thrive in it and that we don't feel that we're trudging through mud, but we actually feel the joy of the Lord and the movement that God puts upon us. So Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. There's the desire right there, that we dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming upon the edge of his robes. So this was an oil that was used to anoint the high priests before they went into the Holy of Holies. So this is a precious thing that the Lord's speaking about, unity. And then verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Come on, this is the key. If we're going to succeed and we're going to move forward with the Father, then we need to align with what the Bible, the Word tells us, but bring the Word into alignment with the Spirit that's in us. So when the two come together, there is dwelling, there is relationship, there is unity. You know, so we want to take a little bit closer to this. The symbols of unity and oneness are, there is a body that has many members, and we said about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that speaks about that. And there is a sevenfold oneness here, speaking about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Please look these up later, rather than we'll take time now to go through them. There was one tabernacle, and that was mentioned in Exodus 25 and verse 40. There was one temple in 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 5. Christ and his bride are to be one in marriage, Ephesians 5. We read that earlier, where it speaks about wives, you know, and it was speaking about the symbolism of the church being the bride of Christ and the coming together, that there is a relationship that is God ordained and that we get to step into it. We must discern the oneness of the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The Lord is making the Jew and the Gentile into one new man, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. And then Christ died to gather all scattered together in one. John 11, verse 50. There is one body, but various offices and functions. Romans 12, verses 1 to 5. There is one head of this one body, and that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10 and verse 16. He will gather together in one all things in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Noah's ark was a three-storied boat, but yet it was one ark. Unity in the time of restoration from Babylon, it speaks of there in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 1, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1, Isaiah 52 verse 8. And then we being many are one body and one bread. And there you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. To have the same mind, speak the same thing, have the same judgment, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The vine and the branches are one by union life. And we read about that in John chapter 15. You know, so there's many scriptures. That's just a few of the biblical scriptures that refers to us being one body and unified. You know, so we want to take a look. So if you want to turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is the Lord Jesus prayed this prayer for us, the church. You know, and this is such a key passage in the Bible that refers to unity. And this is to be many-membered body of Christ. It is a man-made or man-coerced unity or unity of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God, even as we are one. You know, in John 17, Jesus spoke of these things in verse 1, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So there's that link already seen here in verse 1. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know, and everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. You know, so you quite clearly hear and see here in John 17 that Jesus is praying, but he's talking about the unity of him and his Father. And that relationship that they had was so strong, and that was surrounded by the relationship of the Holy Spirit, that the three were one in unity. So when the Godhead, when we say yes to our salvation that has been offered to us, that part of the Godhead comes and dwells in us. He made us to be a fulfillment of his plan, that we get to be around a relationship God, and we get to be sons and daughters in that relationship. And so we need to understand that the strength that of relationship that the Father and the Son have with the Holy Spirit, because the three are one. They're indivisible. They have separate plans and purposes and outworkings, but they are still one. They are united. Now, the church is meant to be the representation here on earth of God. So he is saying to us today, folks, unite. Come together as one body, one church, one kingdom, and be like how we're meant to be as the Father's representation to us. As they are one, so we are one. And so we have this requirement of us that the Lord says, it's almost like he said to John, come up here, see what's better. And the Lord's offering this, and still is today, that we are to come into this binding, powerful, relational agreement with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven, and that dwelling inside of us, that we become the dwelling place of God, that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of us, and that that is our portion that he has blessed us with to create the avenue for the connection with the Trinity, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to lead us into the ways of righteousness, so we walk out how it is that God wants us to become as the church today, alive and well and kicking on the earth. It's all about relationship. It's about the example of the bride. He's coming back for a bride. So a bride will adorn herself, will make herself beautiful for the wedding day. And the Lord is behind all of this to create in us the beauty of the Lord, his holiness, his righteousness, getting us as a bride united, ready for the return of the bridegroom king. Amen. So the whole plan and purposes is for this to be fulfilled. He's never stopped. He's never said, no, let's change tack here. Let's do something else. It's been his design. It's been his plan. It's been his purpose. And he is calling us today to recognize this new shift and to step into it with the requirement upon us to become holy as he is holy, to live righteous before our God, to change our ways, to be in the world, but not of the world. No longer to believe that we are just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He said it is finished. So when you say yes to Jesus Christ, your life is cleaned from head to toe. He washes it clean in the blood sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we are no longer the same. It says we have become a new creation. The old has passed away. So he gives us a restart, a reset in life. And all the rubbish from the past that has weighed us down, that has made us heavy and burdened, well, he just in that instant, he removes that off us. So he gives us peace. He gives us his portion. And then he comes again with a further blessing, and he baptizes us with fire and with water. And so we get to come closer into this kingdom relationship with the Father and the Son, the bride with her bridegroom. It is a bond. It's a marriage made in heaven, we joke about. But that's where it comes from. This that you are in today, your relationship with Jesus Christ, is a marriage ordained and birthed in heaven. And so we're walking towards this marriage feast of the Lamb when the Lord returns back to the skies. I mean, it's going to be awesome. But folks, he is requiring on us to do his works now. When he said he lived to do the works of the Father, to destroy the works of the evil one, to destroy the works of the devil. So he is now with the Father in heaven, but because of the relationship that we are meant to have with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, we are now given the privilege to do the works of Jesus here on the earth, and to be the ones that destroy the works of the enemy that we see around us in every day. What you carry is so anointed, so full of fire, that you will shift atmospheres where you are. You will shift atmospheres within your family unit. You will shift atmospheres within B&Q stores, within Sainsbury stores. What you carry is the light of God inside you. So in this new shift, I say to you, arise, shine, for your light has come. He has appointed you. He has anointed you. The only thing that blocks that is sometimes what we allow back into our lives, what we give permissions to. And you need to look at the permissions you've allowed and stir them up so you get them kicked out of your life and don't return there. Don't go there again. Don't return back to the old ways. Don't go back to Egypt, because there is a better life that's ahead of you when you're in communion and relationship with the Father. Many of us have not yet realized that relationship is key. When the prodigal son returned back home, his father ran to him, put a ring on his finger, put a cloak around him, welcomed him back into the family unit. This son that had taken his part of his inheritance and had squandered it and lived a life of debauchery, and yet the father welcomed him back. He was looking for him. He was waiting for him to return. Now, the other brother felt that he was hard done by. He felt that, well, he's had his part. Why has he come back? And why are you welcoming him? He should be turned away at the door. You know, he had his opportunity. And I'm still here. And I've always been here for you. And I've done the fields. I've done the sheep. And I've done this, done that. And yet you treat him like this. You kill the best lamb and you make a feast of it. And so that brother hadn't learned what it was like to step into a relationship. For he already had inherited. It was already his. He just hadn't realized it yet. But the returning son was so broken and busted that when his father threw his arms around and welcomed back in, he knew the relationship was returned. He knew the father's love, that all he wanted to do was embrace a wayward son and bring him and welcome him back and to say, it's okay, son. So that's why I say today, if you've got things in your life that's not of the Lord, then deal with them and deal with them promptly. And don't allow him to don't allow the enemy to steal what God has planned for good in your life. We've had too many years of that, folks. We've had too much of that going on around our lives, where we haven't felt that we've been fulfilled, where we haven't seen the things that we read about. And, you know, it's because we as the body need to learn unity. We need to learn what it is to be in the Father's arms, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That we need to learn from their example of working together but having different functions, that we get to work and operate as sons or as daughters that have a strong relationship with the kingdom giver, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he calls to us today to get ready, get ready, get ready, because there's more coming. He hasn't stopped. He's on the move, because his plan is that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Christ. Come on. He is on the move. Some of you love the movie Aslan. You're that movie, but Aslan, the roar of the lion, the return of the king. Our king is on the move, and we are instruments in his hands to be used by him in this season to stop and destroy the works of the devil and his dominions and his minions. You know, we get to do that. We are authorized to do that. Why? Because we are our royal ambassadors appointed by our head, the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he anoints us, and he actually tells us that the same power that rose him from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you. You know, so when someone, Joe Bloggs down the street, is phones up, or you find out from a neighbor that, hey, Joe's not well, he's been taken into hospital, you know, and your immediate thought is, oh my days, we need to pray for this man. Well, that's a great thought. And then you think, oh, I'm going to phone Winston because Winston's a pastor. I'm going to phone Andy because Andy's a pastor. They need to pray for this guy. Wrong. You are anointed. You are appointed. You carry the same authority and power. You carry the same Holy Spirit. That same power has just not been given to me or to Winston or to Gordy or Val. so there's a special ones? No, he said that all authority has been given to you, and that the Holy Spirit that's in you is the same that is in me. And so you have to rise up into your call and take the bull by the horns and say, okay, I'm not sure, I might feel a little bit out of my depth, but I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for Joe. And I'm going to trust God that when my words come out of my mouth, that God hears them. And he will, because what he says and what he tells us is, greater is he that is in me than that is what, than what's in the world. So there's a powerhouse in here. There is an anointed side of you, and it cries out to release, 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 and step into the unknown. Step in and take faith, take risk to another level in your life. Because the Father tells you today, he has already told you that if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. So you got to believe that our prayers, when we ask for healing for Joe, that Joe is going to get healed. We got to stand on that promise that when we speak words out and authorize words to be delivered over Joe's life, and we say that all sickness leave your body, Joe, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that your words carry weight, because the Father hears every single word that we speak. Why? Because we're in union. There is unity. And he loves it when he blesses it when we're in unity. So we want to actually give you the chance today to actually come into a new relationship, to step into the new, to forget the old and walk in your newness of life and clean out the house that's not right. You know, someone was saying the other day that, you know, if you walk into the boardroom and there's a whole barrel full of pens there with the logo of the company and all on it, and you take one and you're during the meeting, you're using it to write in your pad, you know, and then you put the pen, the top back on it, and you put it in your pocket and you leave the boardroom. If you haven't been given permission to take that pen with you, it's a theft. It's what I'm saying about it. Something so little can be a barrier to you breaking through into the newness and the new season that the Lord has for you. So watch your ways, guard your ways, guard your heart, because it's a wellspring to life. And we want to be the life carriers, the ones that the life of the Father flows out of. So we have the impact. So, you know, so I'm not saying be scared of stepping out because of things that you've done. No, I'm saying the opposite. Deal with the things you've done before the Father, make them right, and then step out. Because it's all there. The kingdom of God is at your hand. You have been anointed and you have been appointed. And that today I'm commissioning you to go with the Father, that you are anointed to go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, do the works of the Lord to destroy the enemy's camp and his tactics, setting the captives free. That's what we're about, you know. So go look, go find some captives and deal with them, and in a loving manner. I'm not saying just go, but actually deal with them in the love of Christ that you carry, because out of love, everything wins. You cannot fail with love, you know. So we want to be the people that go after people that are hurting, that are bound up with demonic attacks and enslavements, with like bad dreams at night. And you say, well, okay, you just said you're not sleeping well. So I want to pray for you right now and lay your hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I banish the dreams that are bad from your life. And I commission the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be upon your sleep, that you would sleep the sleep of the righteous. You know, some of you that are listening to this today and you're hearing that will take those prayers, receive, because it's what the Father is doing in this new season. He is moving us from glory to glory. Come on. So we've got a bit more on this, but I'm going to finish here today and we'll come back to this. But I say, read the whole of John chapter 17. Soak yourself in it. There is so much in there about who we are and why there is this prayer of Jesus in there, that we would be as they are, one, setting the example of the oneness of the Fatherhood, saying, this is my church. I want you to be one connected with me. So I pray, Lord, today that everyone listening Father, your Holy Spirit gets released in a new, fresh, fiery, joyous, righteous way over them right now as we pray. Father, your Holy Spirit would just descend, walk right into the room where they are, that the anointing of the King would come across them and over them and around them and in them. And the things that they think they cannot break free of, well, and today we say in the name of Jesus Christ, we set you free from every tormenting spirit, from everything that actually takes you down the LGBT route, that this is not the planned purpose of your life. There is better for you. There is more for you. And the Lord Jesus calls you today to return unto him. You wayward son, you wayward daughter, come back into the love of the Father. Like the prodigal, come back, come back, come back. The Father is waiting to embrace you. So today we just release the fire of God over you. We release the spirit that's in you to be awakened again. Many of you that have walked away from the Lord, you knew him when you were a child, and yet you have chosen another pathway. Well, today I rebuke the pathway that has led you, the way of the devourer, the stealer of your life, the lack of purpose that you find in your life that makes you almost suicidal. I say to you today, return to the King, return to the Father, return to the home, return to the security and the peace that he gives you. And there is nothing that you have done that's so bad that he will not take you back like his son, the prodigal son that came back. And allow the Father to release a new ring upon your finger and a cloak around you, and to slay the fatted calf as a celebration of your return. He is waiting for you. And it just takes that step, that saying in your heart, God, forgive me. I come back. I repent. I say, sorry, Lord. Forgive me for all my ways and come back into the kingdom of God, where your true self is found, where your true reality is found, and you find your sense of purpose, and you get to fulfill what the Father has called you from way before you were even born. He knew about you. He's never forgotten you. So he's calling you today. So Father, we just release your peace over everybody today, Lord. Those that are tormented in their nighttime by dreams, and things that are of the dark side, we banish that right now in Jesus' name, and we speak that peace of the Father over you right now, that it descends around your room, that the peace of the Father descends over your home, your secure place, and that you know that the peace of the Father that he says passes all of our understanding is around you and surrounding you and holding you safe. So in the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed today, because the greater things are coming. The shift is happening, and we are in it. You are in it. So be excited in your God. If you're distant from him, then reunite with him. Reunite in unity with your Father. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Have a great week. In Jesus' name, we thank you for joining us this morning. And remember that you can give on the website www.fathershouse.co.uk. You'll see at the top of the page there, there's the availability to either donate through PayPal or through the CrossPay app. Both are easy, so you just go ahead and sow in. You know, we're here to bless you guys, and we love that you walk alongside us and that you actually learn from us. So just sow back into the ministry so we can grow and do more of the fulfilling of the dreams that the Father has over you, over us, in Jesus' name. So you have a blessed week. We love you all, and it's great to have you with us, in Jesus' name.